You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. World Stroke Day is observed on October 29th every year to underscore the serious nature and high rates of stroke. And it's also here to raise awareness of the prevention and treatment of the condition. And this is aimed at to better ensure better care, better support for survivors and the families around them. The annual event was started about 15 years ago in 2006 by the World Stroke Organization. And the World Stroke Organization has declared stroke a public health emergency in 2010. In light of this, I'd like to take the opportunity to showcase a survivor's story and here to discuss how we as a nation and individuals can move ahead on this. Play the clip, please.
Dalam keadaan yang lebih. Laporan masih dalam masjidik dari Batu Gajah.
Kejadian itu berlaku pagi. Saya keluar dari bilik air dan tiba-tiba je saya rasa kaki saya dah jadi macam jeli dan saya tak boleh berjalan. Saya jatuh. Saya call bini saya. Kemudian ada seorang kawan jiran datang bawa saya pergi hospital. Saya memang suka kerja. Apa nak jadi dengan aku ni? Aku nak berjalan pun tak boleh. Mula terbayang anak-anak, terbayang apa nak jadi dengan aku ni. Stroke ni dia, selain daripada rawatan, dia kena ada orang yang support dia. I'm so lucky because I have my wife. She's my strength. Saya ada anak-anak yang cakap semuanya sama. Ayah okey. Orang stroke ni pertama dia kena terima kejutan. Dan dia kena tahu apa dia stroke. Supaya dia boleh plan hidup dia ke mana. Orang yang support tu pun kena faham. Stroke tu apa, apa dia limit-limit dia. Tak boleh nak paksa. Dia terganggu ingatan.
Journalists, my generation, we understand that Mazidul Akbar has inspired many of us to take up this line of profession. And therefore, this story actually hits home because these are the individuals that really are familiar to us. And because of this, we'd like to take the opportunity to discuss this story and, of course, the issue of stroke itself in celebration of World Stroke Day or in remembrance of World Stroke Day with two doctors. Joining me are Associate Professor Hu Fi Fan Ki, consultant neurologist at the Teaching Hospital of UPM and also the chairman of the Malaysia Stroke Council. Joining us also is Dr. Wan Ashraf Wan Zaidi, neurologist from Hospital Chancellor Tuanku Muhriz UKM, and he's also the vice chairman of the Malaysia Stroke Council. Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to speak with us to discuss this very important affair. Let's start with the overarching story of what stroke is in case no one has ever heard of it before.
So thank you, Ibrahim. So basically, stroke is the disease that affected the blood vessel in the brain. So the blood vessel can be, there's a block, so the oxygen, the blood, so the blood flow cannot pass to the brain, the tissue, so the tissue die. Or the blood vessel rupture, so there's a bleeding in the brain. So commonly, the stroke divided to two types. The most common is the blockage type, so we call ischemic stroke. Secondly, it followed by the bleeding type we call hemorrhagic stroke. 80% of them is what we call ischemic stroke.
What causes this, Dr. Wan?
So stroke, as mentioned just now, so basically it can be two big group. So one can be because of the blood vessels occluded, and another one is because of the blood vessels ruptured. So the second one basically causes bleeding in the brain. So those are the most common type of stroke. Obviously, we have the young stroke subtype, which is maybe genetic in disorder, but the most common one, roughly almost 80% of them, are called blockage or bleeding stroke.
Let's talk about the prevalence of instances happening here in the country. How frequent does this happen amongst Malaysians?
So according to the Malaysia Stroke Registry, so there are almost like 92 admissions per day. So it's very common, and there are 32 deaths due to the stroke in the day. So which is like total the deaths of the 4 days of stroke is like almost the total of death of COVID-19 now. So it's a lot of people die of stroke. And stroke also the top three cause of death in Malaysia.
But would this be considered as one that is caused by NCD or is it more of, I guess, you know, infection? Which one is it?
So the stroke is belong to the NCD, non-communicating disease. It's one of the very common after heart attack, so it's followed by stroke.
Let's talk about the gender, the age, risk factor, lifestyle. What would be some of the key things, Dr. Wan?
So basically, the key things about stroke, actually, we would like to make sure the public aware that prevention is always better than cure, for example, because of this is similar with the heart. So if you go through the literature, 80% of the risk factor for stroke can be prevented. So, but in reality, maybe at least 50% can be prevented. For example, for a long time, called our government tried the called Stop Smoking campaign. So that's one of the called the risk factor, which is very prevalent in Malaysia, like other part of the world, and that carry about a fourfold increased risk of stroke. And most of the public may not be aware of an irregular heart rhythm called atrial fibrillation that carry about 5 times risk of stroke. So other risk factor which is prevalent as any other part of the world, 70% of the patient with a stroke will have hypertension, which is easily treatable if they recognize it early. Diabetes mellitus, so that also can be prevented, so it can be modified. So the usual one that we have, and we also know we have a lots of called cuisines every day, which is delicious and very sweet. So those called unhealthy diet, you need to control on that.
You know, when it comes to NCDs, right, either the trident issue of hypertension, diabetes, and of course other NCDs like heart attack, also stroke, a lot of Malaysians do not, I guess, fully comprehend the kind of impact that it has on them. Now, I hearken the fact that you mentioned the amount of fatality coming from stroke might rival that of COVID. But let's talk about the fatality instances of a stroke victim. How deadly can it be if somebody suffers a stroke?
So basically, like among 10 of the stroke patients, only 3 of them living independent. So 7 of them living dependent on the caretaker. So the impact can be very huge to the family members. So, and the patient cannot go back to work because of stroke, because patient can't even move the arm or the leg, can't even walk properly, can't even speak properly. So the impact could be very, very, huge to the patient and the family member.
Let's talk about somebody having a stroke. What would be the kind of signs that the people around them can actually look out for?
So the early signs of stroke that we would like the public to be aware is basically at least what we call as FAST. So FAST is an acronym for face. So there's face weakness, so or numbness. So that's one of the sign of stroke. Second will be the A, will be the arm. So they will raise their hand. Most of the time, the patient will not complain as weak sometimes. They just feel that there's a bit of heaviness at the hand. So the next one will be slurred speech or inability to produce the usual speech. So they cannot speak as usual. The patient sometimes being called informed as confused suddenly. And the last one is basically pick up the phone because of time is brain. So old days when I was a medical student, we call it as a heart attack. We want the public to know that there's also brain attack.
You know, when you mentioned FAST, it immediately reminded me of some PSA that I saw on the airwaves in Australia as well as in the UK. It seems like both Australia and the UK are actually taking an advanced step in terms of informing the public on this. Would you say that Malaysia is a little bit behind in terms of getting public awareness in terms of stroke?
In a way, yes. So that's why we need to organize more, awareness campaign or activity to boost awareness amongst the public. Not only the public, you also amongst the medical professional.
You mean amongst medical profession, there might be some unfamiliarity of the situation. How so?
So the, for example, like if you aware of the evidence behind the acute stroke treatment, which already changed the paradigm before. For most of us, when we are young, called medical students, while in training, stroke is a very conservative treatment, and this is almost like called a death sentence for some. So in 1995, actually, so that's 25 years ago, the first study that changed the paradigm that stroke now There's availability of intravenous called medication, basically just a medication that can be infused and then can open up the blood vessels. So that's 25 years ago. But it came to Malaysia in 2009 in HCTM, my hospital now. We started the first service in 2009 after the publication of the next paper. So obviously this is lagging for certain part of the world, and it's not only Malaysia, it's actually part of called the Asian also.
Okay, Dr. Wan Ashraf, we'll take a pause on that. We'll go for a short break before we continue our conversation on how the treatment is being associated with stroke patients. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. We're talking about Stroke and World Stroke Day that's going to take place around the world on October 29th. We have a short clip regarding a stroke victim. Let's play the clip, please.
Awareness, belajar macam mana nak mengatasi orang yang kena stroke. Tahu apa yang simptom-simptom stroke. Mungkin jadi pada diri kita, ahli keluarga kita atau orang di sekeliling kita, kan? Kita tak tahu anytime dia boleh trigger.
Cabaran terbesar tak nak menyusahkan orang. Saya sembuh, saya tulis buku itu tentang pengalaman stroke lah. How to handle your life, your family members.
So here, let's talk about how to assess the early signs, early warning system, and of course, the treatment of it. Joining us are two doctors. We'll start with Dr. Wan Ashraf, a neurologist. Dr. Wan Ashraf, let's talk about the FAST that you mentioned just now. The medication, let's go deep into that. What kind of medication can be administered, assuming that the patient has made its way or her way to the hospital? What would be some of the first things that you guys would do at the hospital?
So that's a very good question. So when the patient arrived to the emergency department, the first important thing is make sure it is a stroke. So we train our staff, and most of the time the cases will be discussed with a neurologist. And when it's a stroke, we will see whether this patient is for reperfusion, or in short, in simple words, basically to open up the blood vessels. So the medication is known as recombinant tissue plasminogen activator. So at the moment, there's few drugs that are already being approved. And if, for example, there's contraindication, so the patient is not for the treatment for this medication because of there's a bit of risk. So the benefit I would like to share is basically if they come within the first 90 minutes from the onset. So when the patient had a stroke, for example, like 40 years old, 8 a.m., then 9:30, for example, we treat them, then the successful rate can be up to 60%. But if they come at 4.5 hours, it dropped to only 30%. We will tell that. And the risk of bleeding is about 6%. So that's the medication risk. If the medication is not suitable, then we go for the new, newly approved mechanical thrombectomy. It's like the heart doctor. We can put a device, go up to the brain and fish out the clot.
How complicated can the treatment or the procedure be? Do you think that this is something that is easily administered by any neurologist out there, or you need some special training on this?
So definitely there will be a list of a stroke-ready hospital. So there are the medical professional, there's a team, like for example, from the emergency physician, from general physician, from geriatrician, from a neurologist, the team, medical officer, they already learn how to administer this medication. Mm. Or they will refer the appropriate case to the tertiary hospital to do the mechanical thrombectomy or to fish out the clot.
Some of the lists that you mentioned, is it common sense to determine which tertiary hospitals that would be? Would it be like the hospitals that you guys are operating in? PPUM, I don't know, GH, Penang, Johor, Sultanah, Aminah, those kind of big hospitals?
So at this moment, we try very hard to train everyone in Malaysia all the medical professional to give this treatment, acute stroke treatment to the patients. So we come out with a list, so we try to update those hospitals that get trained in the mystrokehospital.my, the website. Mm. So as long as the public, they recognize the warning sign of the stroke, so they located themselves at their house to go to the nearest hospital. Once they need further treatment, So the doctor can refer to the tertiary hospital, something like a mechanical thrombectomy. So we try to push all the hospital to be ready to give at least the thrombolysis drug, the medication to break down the clot.
When we started the show, we mentioned the World Stroke Organization has mentioned that stroke is a national health emergency. However, just like any other emergency, not all emergencies are the same kind of emergency. Pandemic is the issue, COVID-19 is an issue. Elective cases are now being put to hold because of the need for tertiary hospitals as well as frontline hospitals, hospitals like Sungai Buloh, having to treat pandemic issues. Do you feel that your work as a stroke, physician, is being taken a back seat to handle the kind of pandemic that is currently happening and raging around the world right now? Dr. Wan Ashraf.
I think the good thing in Malaysia at the moment, even in my centre, we have a very good structure. In the whole Malaysia, you can see our Director General did a very good job. So he called, as other physicians and consultants, we had discussed this. We would like to make sure that not only COVID-19 being treated properly, but all the patients, whether they have heart attack or stroke, brain attack, so they should be treated as the standard of care. So we try to make sure as much as possible both non-COVID and COVID will get the proper treatment. In fact, from the Malaysia Stroke Council, we did produce a guide to the physicians that we should continue the stroke treatment as usual, as much as possible. But obviously, we need to protect our healthcare professionals and also our patients.
The vocab, the nomenclature, is also important because when you talk about heart attack, the street name would be serangan jantung. Yes. It's very clear, you know, serangan jantung is a literal translation. But when it comes to strokes, angin ahma, it's like it's not serangan otak or something like that. Yeah. Do you feel there is a need for you guys to go to DBP? You know, shake the bars and the doors.
I think this is a good idea for we should consider that.
Yeah. Don't be too rough with the DBP guys. They're very nice. But seriously, how do you change that appreciation of the severity of the situation when it comes to the Malaysian public? I'll give you my fair share of a story. My wife's late grandfather suffered stroke 3 times, and the reason why he had an attack 3 times was because when he suffered the first time. And there was a short period of recovery and rehabilitation, but he didn't change or modulate his lifestyle, and therefore it recurred. Second time was really bad, third was fatal. And he lives in a very rural place in Kelantan. And it's, relatively young, early 70s, you know. So that is, I don't know whether it's early 70s is relatively young, but, you know. Do you feel that the outreach has to be done not just for urban dwellers, but of course around the country as well?
Definitely.
How can we move forward on that one?
So, as you say, we should go for the education for both sides, not only from public, you also should go for the medical professional. So we should work, hand in hand together. It's a collective effort. A collective effort from everyone. So we already started with a collaboration with the NASAM, which is an NGO promoting stroke education and physiotherapy. We also collaborate with the NGO initiative and Malaysia Stroke Council. So we organized a Malaysia Stroke Conference, so try to promote the education in terms of acute stroke treatment. So recently, like, we organized a Malaysia Stroke Conference virtually, the first virtual the medical conference in Malaysia. So we already attracted more than 8,000 medical professional register. So this is the way we try to move forward, and we try to boost the awareness among the public and the medical professional.
The thing about NCDs is that it affects first world countries and developing countries as well. It affects people as much in India as it does in Sweden, and we're there. Do you feel that we can't just talk just about stroke? You guys have to get together, the NCD guys, live better, wear health tracker on your wrist, eat healthier. It's a long-term solution, this one. What do you feel on this?
I would like to share. I think that's a very good point because of the recent study that we have did with the NIHS Malaysia, so National Institute of Health Malaysia. We found that we are not far behind compared to the United States. Similar with the United States, where the called myocardial infarction or heart attack, now there's a peak at the age of 30 to 40. So that happened in US and is happening now in Malaysia. Then when we investigate specifically for us in stroke, the same incidents happen. So this is going every part of the world, not only developed country, but in our country. So again, I think it's very important, as what you mentioned, we should go back with the NCDs group and we should go and have a look because of, as I mentioned before, 80% at most, and if in average 50%, that's very doable. You should prevent a stroke, should prevent a heart attack.
All right. One more short break before we conclude our conversation with the doctors of neurology. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. We're talking not just about the stroke issues of the country and how we as patients or individuals in this country can actually benefit from living better lives. Let's talk a little bit about the overarching story of the development of medication in terms of stroke treatment. Associate Professor Hu Fan Kee is a consultant neurologist at the Hospital Pengajar UKM and also the chairman of the Malaysia Stroke Council. There's a lot of talks in terms of how vaccines are being created, not just in your line of work, but you know, suddenly everybody is very interested in how things are done here in the country as well as in the world in terms of developing medicine, developing vaccines, being part of a trial, group. What would be some of the story that is behind the development of how you treat something like stroke? Is Malaysia part of that R&D process or journey?
Yeah, definitely. So Malaysia involved in a lot of international trial in terms of stroke. So now, like, actually the stroke treatment not only limited from 4.5 hours, actually we try to push even up to 9 hours. Like, for example, the fishing of the clock, now even we can push up to 24 hours. So getting and more data, actually we can treat extend the hours of treatment for stroke patients. As we know, the major limitation of the treatment actually is the patient arrived to the hospital late. So there's the delay of treatment.
Yeah, but the development of medication, do you think that that we can speed things up in terms of getting better medicines out there for the public to be consumed? Or do you think that it has to do that whole slow process? In fact, it could be slower now because all the attention has been given to COVID and its vaccine. What do you think of how medicines are being created when it comes to NCDs and stroke and neurology?
So we're seeing a lot of development, for example, for stroke. We're talking about secondary stroke prevention. Let's say after they suffer from stroke, there'll be a new treatment to prevent another clot formations. So something like they're getting a more effective drug in terms of that, more safer drug, so you'll be less complications such as bleeding.
Another one, Ashraf, let's talk a little bit about how your line of work is getting a lot of pressure in terms of budgetary requirements. We know how Stella, the Tan Sri KP, is currently doing in terms of managing the pandemic, but his greatest battle is not fighting the COVID-19. His greatest battle is actually asking for more from the government in terms of allocating for health budget. And budget is coming up. It's just going to be presented in just 1 or 2 months from now, November 6th to be precise. And the development of the budget is ongoing right now as we speak. If we take a close scrutiny in terms of how the budget is being allocated last year for the Ministry of Health, I think 80 or 90%, I don't know the exact figure, but a large chunk of it is in terms of OPEX. There's little to be said about development budget. I don't blame anybody. It is required. We need money to run hospitals, to pay for medicine, to get more beds in. And now I don't know, it's going to be ballooned up in terms of COVID. But there has to be a greater story to be told, and we can't really expect the government to do everything.
Correct.
Do you feel that there has to be a greater involvement in terms of public interest group, philanthropy, private sector has to come in? How do you think we can solve this longer story of medicine in the country?
Correct. So that's that's very true in any part of the world, especially when we are talking about developing country like us. So we cannot maintain the expensive treatment if just to depend on the government itself at the moment. But as you call, listen to Funky just now, so we would like to establish the called the network first to make sure everything is there. At the same time, we're going to the Ministry of Health to convince them that we need to have a very good partnership with the private sector and also with the philanthropists. Because of, for example, like thrombectomy, the one that I told you, we can go up to the brain, is very much expensive. It's about minimum of 21,000 ringgit Malaysia. So to maintain that, maybe we should have a bit of called a foundation. For example, like if you're aware of the hemodialysis, they have the NKF, the National Kidney Foundation. So similarly, we should discuss, and hopefully with a proper channel, then we can have a similar funding system, and we can then help stroke patients, because of, as we mentioned before, stroke is one of the most prevalent NCDs. We are called in part of the world, Asian, for example, Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand, they are number one cause of death.
Right. Yeah. We have to end this conversation. If people want to learn more, where do they go in terms of getting more information in terms of stroke?
So they can Google or just type mystrokehospital.my. There are a lot of information for stroke, so they can read about that, and they also can locate the nearer stroke hospital.
Okay, thank you, doctors. That was Dr. Wan Ashraf Wan Zaidi, neurologist from the Hospital Chancellor Tuanku Muhriz, and of course, Associate Professor Dr. Hu Fan Ki, a consultant neurologist at UPM. Again, if you want to learn more, there's plenty of resources that you can find online, and I do hope you lead better lives. COVID-19 has indeed taught us to be, you know, a little bit more cognizant of the issues of healthcare. So I really, really hope we wear some sort of wearables or, you know, just track our health a little bit better. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.